Let us look at types of security. Now, security broadly can fall under three types. The first one is security of the facility, right? So, what happens is the facility where the setup is, you can have a proper attendance monitoring system, a visitor management system, or an access control system, surveillance system, right? The physical security of the premise gets covered here from a facility perspective. The next aspect touches on the human resource security, right? Now that you have the physical premise secured, no unauthorized access, systems in place, the next one is on the human resources who work there, right? So this touches upon even your hiring procedures, where you do a reference check of the employees, criminal background checks. You must have seen a lot of phony cases being carried out or done by call center guys. They were in the news recently, right? So what has happened is that these were guys who were habitual to doing such trades and all, and they used the data in the wrong manner to gain benefit out of the out of their positions there. So human resource security touches upon key points of the employee resource per se. All the employees should be bound by a NDA, which is a non-disclosure agreement, so that it is enforced on them not to disclose any I would say aspect of their engagement for that particular I would say role. The training regarding copyrights is important. These resources should be sensitized, because intellectual property, as we saw, is an important aspect to the entire deal, right, entire engagement. The checks can also include education background checks, checks on the OFAC, which is the Office of Foreign Asset Control. So these particular stuff helps you to have a better view on what kind of resource is being hired. The trainings, as we mentioned earlier, on the copyrights. So here we are saying the copyrights, the training should also include education and testing on information security policies and procedures in play in the environment. So each resource should undergo basic security assessments, right, in terms of knowing certain policies, following it up. You have a certain I would say industry certification like PCI DSS, which is specific to the payment card industry data security standard. You have HIPAA, which is specific to the medical fraternity, right? These things enhance the resource to be more cautious and careful in terms of delivering their jobs. For the human resources, you can also look at if the data is very sensitive, barring of cell phones, pens, papers, so that no copying or snipping of content is available. You should also ensure that the resources practice zero tailgating, like not providing unauthorized access to any other employees or other staff, right? Especially when you have areas which are cordoned for particular customers, right? One should not allow resources from other customer support setups into these setups, right? And then finally, when you have a resignation of employees, the access rights should be immediately removed so that they are not misused, right? Third aspect, now we saw the first one, we saw the physical one, second was human resources. Third one talks of network security, right? Now this covers threats from the networks, right? This you have large DOS attacks or DDoS attacks, malwares, viruses in play, right? So the network security becomes important to prevent such attacks. And what happens here, you generally have the firewalls, which are the first line of defense, beyond which you have the intrusion detection and intrusion prevention system, right? So you are trying to build a strong network and prevent any unauthorized network access, right? And then once you are beyond the network, you should enforce very strong password, multi-factor authentications, right, or screen saver activations. For sure, you should not have any USB ports available easily for copying of data. Those should be blocked. So these aspects help you control data from a perspective of authorization and access, right? So if, for example, say multi-factor authentication. Now this multi-factor is more than one factor. And basically, typically organizations use at least bare minimum two-factor authentication, which is like I access with my user ID password, and then I am sent a SMS code to input in the system and verify that it is me, right? So this helps a strong, I would say, it's a strong security factor there. So once you covered all these three aspects from the physical, human resource and network aspect, you will also see that certifications also support security, right? Compliance to standard certifications like ISO 9001 and ISO 27001. Like these cover information security policies, the human resource security, access management, and if you are showing compliance to these policies, it means that by and large there is some secure setup in place, right? And as we mentioned earlier, you have the PCI DSS, which is specific to the payment card industry. You have SOC audits, SOC 1 and SOC 2, which is a security, I would say, audit. Then you have GDPR compliance, which is for the European customers. So these industry standard certifications also help bring up the level of security in the workplace. So let us look at how the data security can be handled and how it can be addressed. One is at the customer end, other is at the service provider end. So at the customer end, if you see, you have certain aspects. So let us look at the first one, which says, again, goes to narrows down to the selection of the right outsourcing partner. So if you remember the point one, which is evaluate and select the right outsourcing partner, this was key point which we discussed earlier in multiple times. So why this is important from a security perspective also? It is because a vendor who's been, I would say, in the field, has been delivering diligently, he would be at a level of maturity where he would be taking care, good care of the customer data, right? He would have the right kind of security measures in place, policies in the organizations, resources trained. So the right partner will be, it will be expected that he is already at a level of data security, and which will help the customer from any unfortunate data security incidents. So evaluating and selecting the right outsourcing partner is the prime, I would say, point in terms of handling data security. Moving ahead, second one is have a secure intellectual property privacy policy, right? So if the customer enforces a strong IP policy in the contract, the vendor or service provider is then liable to support this, right? And this can include the kind of data the service provider will be trusted with, right? What is expected out of the service provider in cases of data breaches, right? What actions or what incident response should happen, right? You should also cover consequences of such a breach of trust. The breach should not be taken lightly. The vendor or service provider should not feel that fine, it's a breach, it's okay. That should not be the case. There should be consequences charted down, right? And one should also check for privacy laws that the vendor jurisdiction allows, because the vendor is in a different country, one should be very, I would say, noticeable or should have done research in terms of the laws there. So having a secure IP privacy policy covered legally helps control data security. Moving ahead, the next one is on having a strong internal security privacy policy. So if I as a customer have a robust internal mechanism in place, for sure, out of that particular compliance, I will ensure that my service provider meets the same levels, right? So the internal policy covering data classification or handling of data breaches. So I have a view on how I am securely handling my data, and that helps in setting out baselines for what the service provider should be doing in terms of providing a secure assurance, right? Next point is enhance the data security. So you saw earlier that if I have a strong security privacy policy, I can then top it up with enhanced data security, right? So what measures help you under enhanced data security? You have access controls at the network layer. You have network layer firewalls, and then you have application layer firewalls as well, right? You have database monitoring gateways. So these technical systems, they help prevent data, I would say, leaks and all, in terms of not allowing easy access into the systems or the database. So this setup then supports access control as well as protection against vulnerability, right? So what happens is, if I have this in place and I do a VAPT, which is Vulnerability Assessment and Penetration Testing, the reports would indicate if there are any loopholes in this setup, right? So one should also look at enforcing mandatory patching for systems, which help prevent, especially the security patches, right? They help prevent attacks. And then MFA, which we discussed, multi-factor authentication. So this is how the data security can be enhanced, right? Following this is the enforcing of security compliance on service provider. So if I am following certain guidelines internally, I should by design enforce or ask compliance by the service provider on these aspects. So this will help keep pressure on the service provider to maintain certain standards, right? If I tell him that I am compliant to a particular level and I expect ABC compliance, it will keep pressure on the service provider to ensure the delivery is in line with those. And it becomes essentially a contractual liability, right? Service provider is then liable contractually to provide that level of compliance, right? You can if I enforce that security compliance, it will also keep the vendor, I would say, eye sharp on not allowing any system data breach, right? And then you should have it will also help him work on building internal policies in terms of password access, internet use, or system access. So these particular aspects can help enforce. So, and as I mentioned earlier, the more it is covered in the contract, the more focus it gets. Like the service provider then has a definite liability to meet those fronts. Finally, what you can do at is you can also look at conducting periodic network security and application audits. Right, as I mentioned earlier, VAPT. So if I look at a VAPT report, it will give me a clear indication on where I am strongly covered or where there are loopholes, right? So if there are periodic such assessments or audits carried out, it helps to reaffirm the situation in terms of any possible, I would say, loopholes available, right? And then one can always track actions from these reports to ensure the 100% compliance, right? Finally, you have the principle of least privileges rule. So this we discussed earlier also, and it is critical aspect of supporting the data security, right? You limit the user's ability to access data or monitor, right? The user does not get more rights than is desired for his role, right? And this helps in reducing any potential security breaches, right? So here, under principle of least privileges, the access level, as I said, is dependent on the role being performed, the duties to be performed, right? And only need-based access is given, and that is also strictly monitored, right? And if there is a need for a higher level of access, then approval process should be in place where you have the user's reporting manager or the account in charge approving that requirement for those rights, right? So let us look at now how data security can be certain aspects that can be handled at the outsourcing partner's end. So we'll cover a couple of points here from the service provider view also. We covered the customer view, what can be done from the customer end. Now let us look at certain points which the outsourcing partner can do, right? So the partner again should can have rigorous data security policies. So if he has policies in place, obviously the teams will work on following that, right? Again, legal clauses on data security requirements in the contract can help keep a tight binding on this aspect, right? So if the service provider is aware that any non-compliance or default can lead to termination of the contract, termination of contract also implies loss of reputation, right? So strong or rigorous data security policies in place will help prevent the sensitive data from threats, right? Secure systems and communications. It will always help to have end-to-end data encryption at the service provider end. Systems should help store data with multiple layers of security. Now, the service provider is serving multiple customers, so he needs to ensure that the setup at his place is having multiple layers of security, and that people from different accounts are not able to easily access data from other accounts or other customers, right? There should be proper monitoring of data traffic, right? The customer also has connectivities to his different customers. So any aspects of data leakage can be stopped or controlled, thereby having strong and secure systems and communication channels. Next, moving on to the human aspect, which is control on employees, right? So these are employees are touch points for intentional and maybe unintentional also data leakage, right? So having a strong control on employees, as we mentioned earlier, barring use of electronic devices that can snip or copy client data, right? Having shredding machines in place, simple example of doing away with any printed information, correct? And then enforcing NDA on the employees. So when an employee is under a contractual obligations of a non-disclosure agreement, he would not easily get into any habitual misused of his role, I would say, right? And this all should be followed by a continuous training and sensitizing employees on the data security aspects. The employees need to be made aware that it is critical for them to prevent such incidents, and that it has a direct linkage to the business and hence their work as well. So control on employees covers all these points. Let us look at another key point, which is having incident response teams, right? So it is quite possible that despite all the arrangements, you may have an incident in place. Right? Now, what can help here is planning, and one can always have incident response team available. And this team need not be a separate team. There can be key members who are part of this team, and they should be available around the clock in case of any incident response, and they should be able to handle the security incident or system malfunction, right? So this incident response teams will have procedures and processes defined, and they will work on ensuring that the systems are back online as soon as possible in case of an incident. How do they recover from an incident, right? If there is loss of client data, how do they retrieve client data, right? So this also aligns to incident management and business continuity process. But having an incident designated incident response team talks a lot in terms of a mature setup at a service provider end. Technology control is the next point. Again, monitoring and controlling the technology in use. Technology should be made, I would say, to good use, right? To mitigate the risks that are there in the environment. So if the setup has, I would say, infrastructure, right? One should be careful of checking whether they are going into end of support or end of life situation. These need to be refreshed. There should be regular patching, multi-factor authentication, right? And then also you should have defense against cyber attacks, right? So technology control point talks in terms of highlighting or I would say reporting what actions are happening at the service provider end in terms of these I would say attributes. Your policies on MFAs, your patching reports, all these help indicate that these particular aspects are worked upon regularly. Finally, coming to physical security control, right? Again, this is important for the service provider end as well to have measures for physical security available, right? On the on-premise security in terms of restriction to entry places, and then having surveillance in terms of cameras and monitoring people on site. So all these I would say actions help keep a strong control on the physical security aspect of the infrastructure. After this, a critical point is on security certification, right? So as I mentioned earlier, for the customer end, where we said certifications were critical to indicate, at the service provider end as well, the industry standard certifications help, these help not only reflecting maturity but also help on support getting more business and build credibility, right? So when a service provider says he is ISO or CMM certified, it means a lot in terms of the compliance taking place at the organization to achieve that certification, right? These indicate levels of security awareness and measures that have been developed and show that it's a reflection basically that the service provider is not looking at the security aspect in a light manner, right? And that it is taken up very seriously. If you see at the earlier one where we said security certifications, so these, if you have seen, are also covered under your assessment part, where checking for security certifications was a key factor. So as I mentioned earlier, some of the points help cover multiple facets. So let us now look at a quick touch on the data security practices. Now you will see that you can for sure take care of common data security issues with the help of strong and effective data security practices. Issues of fraudulent data manipulation, malware, phishing, data leaks, cyber threats. So these are rampant nowadays, and your data security practice in place will help prevent attacks on this front, right? So you if you are unprepared for a security event, it can lead to a disaster, right? So having a strong security team in place, a security incident team, having strong policies, this will help. What happens is, one is you are informed on the subject. Second is you are better prepared to handle a situation, right? And compliance on security, as I mentioned earlier, it is a reflection, right, on the organization's reputation as well. So when I say I am a CMMI level 5 certified, it talks a lot in terms of the organizational standing on the certification front. So these were quick points on security. To summarize this chapter on technology, right, as I mentioned, this is more on the technical aspect. So we saw how cloud computing infrastructure can value add and the benefits it has in terms of scalability, flexibility, reliability, especially the pay as you go model, right? So technology is playing a key role, and one should make good use of it for growth, right? It is essential now for organizations to become cloud ready, because these are a big saving in terms of time and money. Coupled with this, security is again a very critical element that needs to be enforced and compliance. One should be very clear and strong in terms of enforcing the security policies. Data is the new oil in terms of assets, right, with all enterprises. And as I mentioned earlier also, you have the dark web where specific data of customers is sold or customers are held at ransom. So you will have to be very, very, I would say, strong in terms of taking all measures to prevent any data breaches or data hacking, right? Data privacy is becoming critical. I would say it's a core focus area of concern. Especially for the outsourcing sector, because they are dealing with customers' data all the time. Thank you.